The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
Very good evening to all our listeners around the world. This is more than 400 episodes, and we're going towards the 500th of Track World with Alpheus Finlayson. I give kudos to the athletes who returned to the Bahamas with the treatment the Bahamas gave, and quite a lot of businesses and quite a lot of people got involved with the things that people from all over the Bahamas do. And we did have an event that the B3s held at Sapodilla. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend. Well, Philippa Willie is here, and Track World is brought to you by Sun Oil, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, my bestseller book, From Vancouver to Athens, 50 Years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, by Vaughn Culmer and Associates, Insurance and Brokers, the Garden of Eden, where William Bethel is your host. And my grandchildren went to Japan, and they love sushi, but they said the sushi at the Garden of Eden is much better. And then I talk about my good cousin, and all of my cousins are good. And we are talking about a young man called Freeman DeVoe. And he has done he is the CEO of the business, and they are in Pairdale. And he is one of my sponsors of call. And we would say we could now go to a break unless there is something else we want to talk about. We will either not say anything until we have something, or depending on how the thing goes. And I have several people here. Sharon Stewart is watching. Simone Cargill is watching. I guess Simone is my daughter's best friend. And that's what we're talking about. So we do have some people watching. We had over 400 the last time. So thank you ever so much. So my brother, Mr. Guardian, can you, Sheldon, Mr. Guardian, can you tell us a little bit about, the people who should be participating at the World Under 20?
I'm excited. You know, we have some outstanding juniors taking part in competition starting early tomorrow morning, you know, our time, 2 o'clock in the morning. They're going to start things off with the girls and boys 100-meter heats. For the girls, we have LaCathia Cooper from St. Augustine's College, and Camille Rutherford, who was at the University of Houston. They'll be running in the heats early tomorrow morning, our time. Can't remember the exact lane assignments for that. But coming up after that, we're going to have the boys 100-meter heats, and that's going to feature Carlos Brown Jr. and Wendell Miller. Both of them go to St. John's. Camille is running in heat 1, lane 6. And McCarthy is in heat 4, lane 5. And then the boys, Wendell will be in heat 1, lane 8. And Carlos is in heat 6, lane 3. The first race is going to come your way at about 2:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's in the Bahamas. This is about, I think it's 9, 10 o'clock in Nairobi. Only 7 hours ahead, so 9:35 in Nairobi. And the second race, LaCarthia's race, is going to come your way at 2:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 9:59 a.m. in Nairobi. And then the first race for the boys, Wendell, he's going to be in heat 1, lane 8. That's going to be at 3:28 a.m. our time here in the Bahamas, which is 10:28 a.m. in Nairobi. And Carlos, he's going to be running at 4 a.m. Our time in the morning. So you're going to have to get up extra early to watch those Bahamians in action if you want to. I think there's going to be a couple of sites that are going to be streaming online. I know Watch Athletics normally brings on a lot of track and field.
Is it? Are you looking at the body? I'm talking about the track and field body. Mm-hmm. Would you see it through there?
World Athletics will also be having it live as well. Right. Yeah. So you can follow it live on World Athletics. Okay. And they would not, just as they did with the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be live as well.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you, Vanessa, my good cousin. Well, all of my cousins are good, as I said. She's the Andrew spot. So what about the throws?
You have also competing.
You know, that's very important, you know.
Yes. Keyshawn Strong, he's going to be competing in the qualifying rounds of the boys' javelin.
That will be something to watch.
He's the sixth thrower in Group A. And I think he has a very, very good chance to make it to the final. He broke the junior and senior national records this year, you know. And that's huge because he's only 17 years old, I think, 17 or 18.
Yes.
You know, when we were here, mm-hmm. And talking about giving people money for $1,000 if you break a national record or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this fella came up and said, you know, he would do something for what's his name, from Chris Brown, mm-hmm. okay? Because Chris Brown's national record, they even mentioned it on ZNS. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time. So what Maycock said is that the government, or we need to look at giving $50,000 or $100,000. Mm-hmm. And now we have the $100,000 mm-hmm. that the government is giving out to those two particular people for what they've done.
The government is giving out $100,000?
They mentioned that.
Really?
I thought it was $40,000 each.
No.
What do you mean for the Olympics?
No,
for the Olympics.
We ain't talking about that. For the extra stuff that they did, that the two of them did. I'm talking about Shawnee
and Stephen.
And Stephen, yes. Okay. I heard the minister saying that.
That they're getting $100,000 each?
I heard the minister saying that.
Wow, that's
amazing. What I heard now. That's what I heard.
I must be sleeping, but
that's what I heard.
The news.
You couldn't be sleeping.
Right.
But I was sleeping.
Because you were here.
I was sleeping a lot since I got back.
Yeah, you were here.
Well, what I did hear, Alfie, was that I know for sure that it was mentioned that they were both awarded $40,000 for sure.
That's always the local.
That's the ministry.
No, that's the team.
No, it used to be $60,000 for a gold medal.
Correct.
No.
Right. And then, right.
And based on what they had said, okay. They said both Shawnee and Stevie would get $40,000 each. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But Alpheus has the inside, so we're going to listen to him. He has the inside.
I've been around and been to
about
every track meet.
That's right.
You could question me.
Yes, sir.
You can question me. There's no problem. No, everybody could be questioned. Mm-hmm. Everybody can be questioned. You said the
javelin.
The javelin throws. Yes. Anybody else in the field events?
Yes, we also have Rima Otabor. She's going to be in the...
That's what he is talking about. But she is abroad, eh?
She's a collegiate student.
She's a student athlete.
FIU.
She's going into a sophomore year mm-hmm. for Florida International University.
Mm-hmm.
And she broke the national record this year, Sheldon, earlier this year while completing. mm-hmm. while in college.
No, not the, the junior national record. Eh?
I think it was a junior national record. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, junior. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, not Laverne record. Yeah, the junior national record.
Not Laverne's record.
No. The junior national record.
Still waiting for somebody to finish that, that discus throw.
Yes, yeah. But it's still phenomenal.
Yeah.
She did it this first year. She made it to
NCAA's in her freshman year, which is very good.
Yeah.
You know, so she's going to be a strong competitor, I think, for us and the girls traveling over there in Nairobi.
Uh-huh.
And we also have another field competitor in Alexis Tilford Rutherford, the daughter for
Frank Rutherford. Yeah.
She's going to be jumping in the long jump. I think she might do the long and the triple.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure she's going to do the long, you know. And
Camille.
Yeah, I think that's it for our field events.
Kirkland Colley. Oh, the bride of a young lady called, Sheena Antonio Colley. Kirkland, I tried to wish y'all a happy birthday, but I guess y'all were having your own things, and I know you would have gone to church. So thank you ever so much. Thank you ever so much. Anything else that we want to talk about, because it's 2:15.
Well, definitely, I think for us, it's just how phenomenal. I think the team that is in Nairobi, Kenya, they will perform. I don't doubt that. This entire season, I mean, for such a difficult year that it was, thankfully, the B3As was able to put on, I think, more than the norm of events. Mm-hmm. And at each event, I can honestly say, while I was there, these athletes showed up to every event. They were breaking records, setting great times. Carlos, I'm expecting a lot from Carlos and Wendell, particularly on the track, because those two young men, and Antoine Andrews, the 200
meters.
Who is
he? You guys,
the 100-meter hurdles. 110-meter
hurdles. Correct.
Yeah. You know, for about one event I would like to see the Bahamas doing in Nairobi, which I'm not sure they're going to do. I'd like to see them put together a boys' 4x1 team.
And I think it will be an awesome team if they have that on their schedule.
Randall, Carlos, Anton, and who's the next guy? Who's there? Randall, Carlos, Anton. There's another guy.
Lamont Moss.
I'd love to see them put together a 4x1 team.
So for all of those who are listening, please don't call my phone. Somebody call my phone again.
I'll just stay excited about hearing your voice on the show.
No.
But indeed, if we continue with Sheldon, for sure that team, that young, that that's a very hot selection of young men.
Yes.
Up and coming young Bahamian athletes, for us to expect a great show from them. And I hope that is the plan while they're in Nairobi, because all four of those young men have been running excellent this entire season.
Yes.
And let's give kudos to their coaches. I know for sure that Andrew Tynes, Carlos and Wendell are both under Andrew Tynes.
And Antoine,
exactly.
Who is Carlos?
Carlos is a junior athlete. And, you know, even in a difficult year, he lost his father this year as well. And, you know, we definitely give our condolences and our love to his family. But his club... We must give Swift Athletics kudos for this. They hugged him and kept him focused to continue and to finish this season, you know, in spite of what happened to his father. And he definitely showed up to every meet, Alpheus. Every meet, in particular the last junior, the senior, junior, and senior nationals. These young men right here, that was the hardest race of junior senior nationals. That the 200 meters it was, the 100 meters, they performed phenomenally. And so I expect a lot from them while they're there in Nairobi.
Carlos is only 15 years old.
Yeah, they're very young. They are young.
So he has two more years left in the under 18 category.
Yes, you know? Yes. And blazing.
Yes.
So,
and blazing. So just stay healthy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, when they come back, who will meet them at the airport?
The same Bahamians that met the senior athletes.
Well, I wish, I hope that that is the case. I hope that, because this is anticlimactic after the Olympics.
I think they're going to win at least 2 to 3 medals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm optimistic they're going to win at least 2 to 3 medals. I think Carlos and Randall are going to do very good in the boys' sprints. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm looking for probably a dark horse stepping up on the female side. You know, maybe it's going to be one of the Rutherford girls. Maybe it's going to be Cooper.
Somebody else is watching. Sherman Stevens, how are you, Sherman? This is Alpheus Finlayson. And then we have Garfield Major, who is from Culmersville. And he always watches. Garfield, do well. Take care of your bride. Take care of your bride, please. And that's what I am talking about. And before I forget, today would have been the birthday of a young man called Ronnie Butler. Ronnie Butler. That's my brother's godfather. It really is something else. So I said they lived near Garfield McPhee in Culmersville.
You know, about that World Under 20 team, one thing that's going to be interesting, I think there are three young men on that who have actually qualified for the 200 meters, Lamont, Randall, and Carlos. So it'll be interesting to see which two they go with, you know, when the heat chiefs come out. You know, I'm not sure if Carlos will run the one and the two, mm-hmm. but I think Randall will definitely do the two. That seems to be his better event.
Yes.
You know, so I'm guessing they would probably go Lamont and Randall for the 200 meters.
So come November, December, when do you think track and field is going to ratchet up? I'm talking to, normally we're talking about January, February,
off-season,
yes.
Well, of late, I would say like the past 3 years, discounting COVID, the year 2020, the Beat Race has been starting the off-season, the odd distance meet, which is normally the first calendar event mm-hmm. of the season. It's been happening in December. They tried it a few times in mm-hmm. December, and it was working. So the schedule isn't out as yet. We haven't seen it as yet, but definitely it will still always start with odd distance. And some of the cross-country events, of course, let's not discount cross-country. Cross-country, for sure, most times happens in the latter part of the season. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see if they are planning an end-of-year awards ceremony.
Yes, yes.
I think they did it in a subdued fashion last year.
It will be grand. I mean, hey, mm-hmm. COVID has taught us so much virtual, you know, grand mm-hmm. ideas. So mm-hmm. definitely we know that it can happen. Mm-hmm. And we hope that by the end of the season, things will have slowed down with COVID and persons getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it looks as though we have somebody on the line. Do we?
Yes. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, Mark Pendleton. How you doing, buddy?
I'm better than most. Not as good as you know, but tell me you want to talk about the success at the Olympics?
Yes.
Or are you going to be talking about, we're now... talking about the World Under 20 in
Nairobi. Kenya.
Yes, but talk to this young man.
I do have a question for you in both categories. I tuned in late, so I didn't get the name of your guest. Will you kindly let me know who they are, please? I don't recognize the voices.
Well, my co-person is Philippa Willie.
Right. Hi, Philippa Willie.
Okay.
Yes.
And the guardian man...
Arnett Willie.
I stop that right there.
Hello. Doesn't change.
Yeah, but you know, her mother happens to be my good cousin out of Mangrove Key, Andrus.
Right.
We have Sheldon Longley, who had the opportunity to go to the Olympics.
Who's reporting live, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, Sheldon, talk to this man.
I have two questions for you, like I indicated, so let me just dive right into it. First question for you, Hawk. First of all, let me say Good evening to your guests and to everybody listening. I certainly want to congratulate Stephen Gardner and Shawnee Miller-Weibo for the fantastically wonderful effort that they put forth in bringing home the gold for themselves individually and for the country at large. That was a wonderful, phenomenal performance. The question I have for you in regards to the recent Olympics, I'm made to understand that Shawnee's defense of her Olympic title, winning that same race twice in a row back-to-back, that she's the second female in the world to have done it, and the first Bahamian, in, whether male or female, to have successfully defended an Olympic title. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Rio.
Wonderful. Yes. She did it in Rio, what, 5 years ago? And, of course, this year in Tokyo. That is so wonderful. And I just, you know, the thing that I feel good about, gentlemen and lady, is as I would, I didn't hear Stephen's, any interview with Stephen, but as I would have listened to Shawnee, I'm so very proud of the fact and encouraged by the fact that our athletes are still 100% Bahamian.
Oh, yes.
You know,
I said that last week. Yes.
No matter what the challenge is.
Yes.
No matter what the struggles,
yes,
they are still 100% Bahamian, and I am just so
very true.
So encouraged and motivated by that.
Well, there are two things I want to say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You see, I don't sleep in the night. I'm on the BBC, mm-hmm. All over the place, and you see them having the only people they're talking about is Shawnee and Stevie. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes, so what I say, now there is, you know, with the IOC, people pay for, you know, to be able to show those things.
Right.
But what the British do with Shawnee and them, okay, the two of them, man, the Ministry of Tourism can't pay sufficient money for that. Somebody is telling me I can't talk about the Ministry of Tourism. I have no problem in talking about the Ministry of Tourism. The Ministry of Tourism puts more money in some of the agencies that they do than what the British, the BBC, did with Shawnee and Stevie. And that's it. Anybody who wants to criticize me, my name is Alpheus Finlayson, 432-9961, and that's your business.
Now, 432-9961 is your cell number?
Yes.
Well, I would love to call you up and talk with you about it some more, because I have some other questions, so I won't take up too much time.
Yeah, but there's just one more thing that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, some people say that our athletes are recruited by the people in the United States, the Grifter Games people, and all of that. You know why they recruit them? Because they're good.
Yeah, very good.
And the people in the United States want that. And we also have athletes. Coaches, sufficient coaches in the United States. Now, my brother was talking to somebody whose mother went to Texas, not Texas A&M. I'm forgetting the place now. And the point is that we have good people. Texas Southern.
Indeed.
We went to a meet in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach decided that he would take Laverne's sister, and she went to Texas Southern, and this fellow was very, very, very good. Very good, yes.
Which brings me to my question about our junior athletes. Looking at the crop of Bahamian athletes that are now in the arena, as you all were just talking about, how soon do you think we're going to be winning another Olympics? And in what areas of the athletic events do you all, can you predict right now, say within the next...
Well, let me say this.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Olympics, eh?
Yeah, I mean, from our crop of junior athletes now.
No, I said everybody forgets that they're world championships. You don't just jump up and go to the Olympics.
Well, the
next world championships is going to be in Eugene, Oregon. And it's going to be a big thing.
Right. Let me admit that I did forget about the world championships. So I apologize to you for that. Hawkman, listen.
By the way, I need to just talk about Byron Woodside and Doyle Burroughs. They're watching.
Okay.
And Doyle has been all over the world. And Byron was minister who was responsible for sports at some point.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you see, the reason I did jump all the way to the Olympics is that I remember with Stephen Gardner, when he was first running, I can clearly remember hearing somebody say, that boy from Abaco? Man, he just practiced on the beach in the sun, and man, that boy could run. Man, I know we can see him bringing home some goals in the next few years in the Olympics. I remember hearing persons make that observation, I think about 10, 12 years ago.
How many times do you go to the track?
I don't go to the track.
But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Gardner, he happened to break a record. I forget the person, Sheldon. He happened to break a particular record.
Gardner?
Gardner, yes.
He broke Chris Brown's national record.
In the what?
In the 400 meters.
In the 400 meters. Right. So what I am saying is that there are things in between. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that in the world championships in Eugene, he will win. Although you have a number of U.S. people, I mean, people from all over the world, you know. And I pray, but I don't see that the world record holder in another 2 years would be ready. But you never know.
So you think Stephen will, do you think, I mean, as fast as he is running now, and obviously he's getting better, do you see him actually becoming a world record breaker in the next year or two?
Well, we think so. We think there's a possibility. If you see how he runs, he just walks to the.
I thought he's in the shape to do it in Tokyo.
In Tokyo, yes.
You know, when I saw him run that 44.1 in the heats, in a big shirt,
big shirt, yes.
I say, man, this guy can do something special in the final, you know. And in the final, he still got off to a slow start. I think if he had the perfect race put together in the final, he would have come very, very close to the world record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his best time right now isn't far from the world record. I think that's
not at all.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that.
And an article I came across on the internet, he was saying that he actually stumbled a little bit when he came out of the blocks in the finals.
He did.
Yeah.
Man alive! So you know, if he had a real solid good start, you think he would have set a record or at least broke one?
I think so. Because if you watch the final, you could almost see where he stumbled. And you could see that.
You could see how he slowed down.
Michael Sherry was up on him like within the first 100 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if Stevie had put together the perfect race plan and he didn't stumble, I think he would have come very, very close to the world record, if not breaking it. You know.
Well, you know, again, I want to say congratulations to them. Hawk, I really would like if you and your guests could provide us that projection, because I know, like you reminded us now, that the world championships are right there coming up. But, you know, obviously...
And the first time in the United States. So, you know, they're going to take off everything.
What do you mean, the first time in the United States?
The United States have never had a world championships because the government, the United States government, never put any money on those things.
Really?
Never.
Mm. Okay. I really thought only Olympics they would have hosted now.
Well, they, pardon me?
Only Olympics they would have hosted.
Well, I don't know. You know, Olympics have been Olympics have been around and around forever,
mm-hmm.
but never in never in the United States.
Right.
Yes.
Well, as I depart, then what I'd like to do again, would you kindly give me that cell number of yours again, please, Hawk? I'd like to call you off air. 432-9961.
432-9961.
61. Got it. Well, I will definitely be in touch with you later on this evening. And again, congratulations to all the entire team, not just the gold medal winners, because the entire team, the fact that they ran out there and they put forth their best effort, to me, that's a gold medal performance. Any time one does their best, whether they bring home a gold or silver or bronze or nothing, as long as they will have done their best, that's a gold medal performance to me. So I congratulate all of them, and I thank them for the great work they're doing, and may they continue to succeed. God bless all of you, and I'll be in touch.
But listen, what I'm saying is, do you know that in Rio, Patrice Seymour set a new record,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this time, mm-hmm. The Charlton lady,
Devon,
mm-hmm. man, she was in the finals, mm-hmm. so that's being in the final.
And both of them finished sixth.
Yes.
Okay. No. Well, you just prompted me last question here. What was the? And I'm not asking this to be critical. I'm just curious. What is the reason why this time around, in recent year or two, that we did not have a men or women's relay team at the Olympics? I'll hang up and I'll listen to the answer. Thank you.
Well, the men's team didn't qualify. You know,
you have to qualify.
Yeah, we had a women's team there. We had a women's 4x4 team there. They qualified in the final position. To qualify for the Olympics, you had to be in the top eight at the World Championships last year, or the top eight at the World Relays this year.
And we didn't go to the World Relays.
No, we didn't go to the World Relays. And the teams that overlap, you know, there would only be like about four or five positions remaining. So there were still opportunities to qualify, you know, but then it becomes increasingly more difficult because you have a lot of countries who are trying to make those four or five spots. And in the women's 4x4, we were fortunate enough to make the final spot. And we qualified a team in that relay. So we carried on a tradition of having at least one relay team, you know, from 92, I think it was. 92 was the last time we didn't have a relay team. But this is also the first Olympics that we haven't had a men's 4x4 team since 96, I think it was.
But let me ask you this. In the 4x4,
mm-hmm.
in the relay.
The women?
In the relay, we didn't get a medal in the relay?
The women?
No, the men.
Man, we didn't have a men's 4x4 team this year.
Good enough then, good enough. Just making sure.
Yeah, just the women, and they failed to get out of the heats.
Yeah.
You know, they had an issue with Anthony saying that she suffered an injury and she didn't.
I'm talking about not here. I'm talking about in Rio.
Oh yeah, they won a bronze. Oh,
okay, yeah.
They won a bronze.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, they won a medal in 2008,
mm-hmm.
again in 2012 they won the gold.
Yeah.
In 2016 they won the bronze.
Yeah.
You know, Chris actually has five relay medals from the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
One gold, one silver, and two bronze.
Well, and there was four, one. Sorry. And there was one place that this U.S. fella, he was diving.
2008.
He was diving at a different. At a different place.
You're talking about David Neville.
Yeah, David Neville. And for after a while, nobody ever heard of him.
I think that's the most hurtful race of Chris Greer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I spoke to him when he came off the track after that, and he wanted us to appeal.
Yeah.
You know, see if we could look at the race and just make an appeal to World Athletics or to the International Olympic Committee, see if the results could have been overturned.
Yeah.
You know, but there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's Tors, the guy's Tors, even though he dove across the line, it's Tors across the line
mm-hmm.
before Chris. You know, and there wasn't no rule that said you couldn't dive over the line.
I know.
And of course, 4 years later, we got him back, and Shawnee fell over the line.
So. But something I want to mention, I don't know. We had an event in a junior event in, I can't remember exactly where it was, but Anthony was a runner. Anthony could not start. And she won the 100.
Are you talking about?
And she won the 200.
The World Junior Championships.
The World Junior Championships.
And 20, what year was that? 2012.
Yeah, it's right before 2012, I think.
I think it was 2012.
And it was 2012, yeah. And she was the person, I forget what you call it now.
I remember exactly.
She was a rising star.
Was that Lily France?
No, Lily was. No. That's Barcelona.
Barcelona. Yes. Yeah, she was the double sprint champion.
Yeah, yeah.
And she also won the IWF Rising Star.
Rising Star
Award that year.
So Sylvia Butler is watching. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Thank you very much. Should we go to a break and then let's talk about birthdays?
Let's do it.
Let's go to a break, please.
I am Bernard F. Hanna. All of you should know me as this thing. I've got the very first copy from Vancouver to Athens. You know, I'm so excited because to be the one to have the first copy, I know what it was for Hawk, for over the years, his dedication and his excitement, his commitment to bring this bestseller book to us. And I'm excited to have in my possession not only one copy, but two copies from Vancouver to Athens. 50 years of Bahamian International Track and the Field Competition. This is great stuff. So I'm urging all of you to get your own copy. You could get it from Logos in the Harbor Bay, or Nassau Stationers on Rosetta Street, or Chapter 1 at COB, or at Coral News and Gifts in the domestic section of the Linden Pinlin Airport. Let me tell you, man, you will never regret it. This kind of information that you get in this book is really invaluable. It's just terrific stuff. Good sports history, true and factual, you know. So I urge you, just go and get it and keep a copy, and even give your friends a copy. And you know, more than one reason I am more excited about having this book. Look at page 200 and you will see me there in live and living color performing. Number 200, you will see Bernard F. Hanna performing, and that is my fulfillment, one of my big fulfillment of having this book.
Hello from the Shell Fuel Labs, where my team of dedicated scientists develop Shell fuels for your car.
For over 100 years, fuels innovation has been at the heart of everything we do.
Since our first ever branded petrol in 1907, we've broken records, supported Ferrari F1 to win Grand Prix, and pushed our fuels to the limit.
Now, every time you fill up a Shell, your engine will benefit from our passion for innovation, helping you to get the most out of every tankful.
With over 100 years of quality fuels innovation,
you can be sure of Shell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and we're talking about birthdays. Oh, my good client, Tanya Hanna. She has a birthday today, and she has been my client forever and ever. She went to Germany, and we connect one another. Is real good. We both went to St. Augustine's. And then another client of mine, born a little earlier than me, and he lives in Hopetown. This is in Abaco. And as I say, he is a little older than me, younger than me. And then we talk about Lee Van Sands. His birthday is on the 16th. And Ed Giddens, his birthday would be on the 18th. Ed Giddens used to be the vice president of the B3As at some point. But you know, everything changes. I don't want to call Ed's age, but he used to run. The first time I ever ran was at a church event, and Ed ran. And then I have a coming up, client called Vincent Barnaby, and then somebody called Salir Munir Yaris. He is a good friend of mine, and our birthdays come together. And then, whilst I talk, we're talking about the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie. There is something that happened at the the CAC Games in Jamaica, and he won the triple jump. So Perry Gladstone Christie was the first Bahamian to win the triple jump. And then we have my good friend, Bernard F. Hanna. He found out that he has the same birthday as Perry Gladstone Christie. And then a classmate of mine from St. John's University lives in Chicago. His name is Ron Morris. And then the big thing, and I am not talking about Eugene, Oregon, for the event that is there. We're talking about that's going to be in Eugene. I'm not talking about the World Championships. I'm talking about the what the Jamaicans and that young lady. They say they're going to do something, and the birthday of Usain Bolt is none other than the 21st of August. And that's what I am talking about. So, fast forward from there, I wish to talk about, no, I'll talk about that to the end. Anything else that you want to talk about, Sheldon?
No, I'm just looking forward to team in Nairobi doing exceptionally well. You know, I think they're motivated by Stevie and Shawnee's performance at the Olympics, and I think they're going to put down some very, very fast times and some good distances in the field events that they're taking part in. I'm looking forward to some good results, at least two or three medals.
And you know, still, we're waiting for the airport to be full when they come back.
Yes, yes, hopefully we can have that.
Now, this is a B3A's thing, but I am sure the B3As would do well enough. Well, you know, they had something at Sapodilla that the B3As did, and oh man, all kinds of people were taking pictures in that place.
I'm sure
it's
sure.
Real, real nice place. I don't know who was going out to Sapodilla, but it's really something else.
Yeah, I couldn't make it out there. I was still trying to recover from Tokyo myself.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
So, but I heard they had a nice show on, and just hope that everybody was well protected and they were practicing, you know, social distancing and, you know, wearing their mask and all that.
Well,
you
know, some people questioned it. Some people questioned it, and they thought that the numbers that they had were too much, social distancing. But I do know that I've seen on television, everybody had a mask.
Okay.
Everybody had a mask, wherever it is. You know, there were pictures all over the place, you know. Bahama did their thing, you know.
Yeah, Bahama did something. I think Atlantis did something as well.
Yeah.
John Bull did something.
Well, of course, because he is on the Olympic Committee.
Okay.
I'm talking, you know who I'm talking about.
Was that Dorian?
Dorian, yes.
Dorian, right.
Dorian, yeah.
You know, and then you had the meetings with the PM and the Governor General.
Mm-hmm.
I think the leader of the opposition might have done something as well.
Yeah.
So they had a full weekend.
All sorts of people did things, and mm-hmm. some that you saw, and some that you didn't see. But for all intents and purposes, you know, my brother says that everybody who ever had a, what do you call it, a picture with Sade, you would see that.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I was fortunate enough to get mine in Tokyo.
get yours in Tokyo. That was a good thing.
This is a tremendous accomplishment. This is the first time you've had two individual gold medals at
Of course, yes.
You know, at a single Olympics.
Yes.
You know, Shawna becoming the first woman since Marie-Josée Perec to repeat as Olympic champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's still going to be good enough to go after three straight.
She's young, really young.
She could realistically win three straight.
Like I say, Shawna doesn't know anything about Pauline Davis.
Yeah. So I'm expecting it.
Pauline was in the LA Olympics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I'm expecting Shawna to give it a serious effort to go after three straight.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to be one of the favorites to do it. But like you said, we have two world championships before the next Olympics.
Yeah.
2022 and 2023. So I'm sure that will be their next focus, you know, on the schedule. And I'm looking forward to some great things. You know, she said this might be her last time doubling for a while.
Yeah.
The schedule is never really in her favor.
Yeah.
You know, and the strange part about this, if this was 2 years ago, I think she would have easily won both the 2 and 4 because she was untouchable in the 200 in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, and even last year, if the Olympics wasn't postponed, you know, I'd have loved to see what she would have done against the rest of the world in the 200 meters.
But let's jump to something now. Doha,
mm-hmm.
unbelievable meet.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from Doha now. Mm-hmm. Doha is 2019, now 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 years. What do you see with COVID? You know, you have to think.
I think COVID is going to be a while. You know, look like it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We're gonna just gonna have to learn how to live with this, you know, and hopefully it'll be a whole less subdued by next year. You know, time as the world championships come around. But this is gonna be up for a while. You know, to learn how to deal with this.
Well, in Eugene, they are asking people if they want a particular seat right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not waiting for that.
Mm.
They took the opportunity before the Olympics to have that, and especially people in the United States and around, they are gonna, with money, they're gonna, you know, get their ticket soon, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Have you had a chance to look at the stadium yet since they renovated?
It is beautiful, isn't it?
I heard.
No, I see it. I see it on television.
Yeah, I saw it on television as well.
It is beautiful.
With what's his name?
Paul?
My boy.
Who's that?
Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Lewis sitting down with the big man, you know. And, well, and
I follow Paul Swangard, one of the guys, one of the announcers, right?
Yeah.
So he shows the technology in the booth, on the field, him and Otto. The pictures that they take of the whole view.
Who is Paul?
Paul Swangard. He works for NBC.
He works
for NBC, but he is literally the announcer for Hayward Field. He's been with with Eugene for umpteen years. Mm-hmm. So he's the fixed voice to that stadium.
Well, let me tell you about the young man in Pancho and I went to Eugene for the just to see the competition. So what's the fellow from Trinidad now?
Otto Bolden.
So I said, man, you're good.
He's excellent.
He say, his mind is further than his ability. I believe him. Yeah, his mind is you know, it
I
is.
I believe him.
It is really something else.
He is a sports analyst, no doubt.
Of course.
He is definitely a sport analyst.
Did all the studying, and well, by the way, I had the opportunity to, you know, you catch these things every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking to him about what, you know, you have, he said, what's his name? Crawford,
mm-hmm.
who won the 100 meters in Montreal.
Yep.
Okay. And he says that, you know, he has no relationship today. It's too long. He was mm-hmm. he was a little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody checks for that. You know, Don Quarry won the 200 and this and that and the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Alberto Wontorino.
Who's still around still very active.
Still very active.
Very active for Cuba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that really is that's something else, and
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel good. Oh, what
we have our own sports analyst here.
Well, of course,
Mr. Sheldon Longley.
Of course,
hey, keeping us intact.
So what?
Him and Brent Stubbs.
Yeah, what I want to see, the triple jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? In Barcelona, we had second or third place, the triple jump,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the person who won was a Cuban jumper. And where's the Cuban jumper? He is now in, what is the name of the place? He is not in, no, he jumped in the Olympics.
In 92 in Barcelona?
No, the same Olympic Games.
2000, just the same?
That's the one that just finished.
Oh, Pichardo.
Pichardo, yes.
Yeah, he competed for Portugal.
For Portugal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what I'm saying is,
yeah.
if I don't know what the breakdown was with them.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean why he switched?
They couldn't don't know. I thought about switching. Plenty of the athletes go to Europe.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Especially mm-hmm. a lot of Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time.
But the Cubans have a good number of them.
They do.
Yeah,
they do. Cuba has a good program, so I don't know why Pichardo would have switched. He was very, very talented coming
up. He sure was.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
Yeah, but his money also.
Of course, yeah, of true. Course. And it's you know,
and
what
Cuba
you can get for your...
Yes.
Exactly.
Cuba can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Hence what the caller said earlier about, and what we spoke of last week, we have to be so proud of our Bahamian athletes over so many years, because most of them train in the U.S., so they have that option. And I'm mm-hmm. sure if you as a coach, you know you have a very fast athlete. You have a Shawnee, you have a Steven mm-hmm. in the front of you. Mm-hmm. Tonique also trained in the U.S. Pauline trained in the U.S., and I'm sure their coaches always probably offered,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you could come over and this is, the world is yours, you know?
Yes, yes.
But we stay true to our own. We stay true as Bahamians. And that's what we have to love about our athletes.
Yeah. Our athletes, for the most part, have a lot of national pride.
Yes.
No amount of money could make them want to compete for something mm-hmm. else. And I love that about our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that gives kudos, some kudos to our government, too, for...
Mm-hmm.
More or less supporting them and, you know, listening probably to
yes,
what
yes.
they want and what they need
mm-hmm.
to help them along the way. I mean, it's never enough.
Yeah.
And we know
never
that.
Enough.
So, we're going to put that out there. It's never
yeah.
enough, but yeah. definitely it's enough to keep our athletes true.
Yeah, we have to face the facts. We know that we can't pay them on the level of other countries.
No. Correct.
You know,
well, several other countries don't pay much, you know.
Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
yeah,
true.
Don't pay much.
Yeah.
Neither can we.
I understand that Usain Bolt was asking why can't the government or the federation do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah. he needs to put something of his. You know.
Yeah. When you get to the status of a Usain Bolt, you know, you're making most of your money from your sponsors.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
And international sponsors.
Right.
Like
international.
That.
Right.
Yes.
The same with Shawnee mm-hmm. and the rest of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know. So. There's only so much we could do as a government,
agreed.
You know, in terms of subvention and prize money and stuff like that.
Agreed.
So anything that you would wish to say right now?
Well, we're going to stay live. And I mean, definitely the hot topic for us in the track world is definitely the Nairobi, Kenya under 20 World Athletics team. And so we just want to continue. They start tomorrow
mm-hmm.
officially, well, early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to wish them the best. I mean, definitely just go and continue with the two goals and, you know, the athletes' performances at Tokyo 2020
mm-hmm.
and let them show that the world, Bahamas, we have great junior athletes up and coming as well.
And I will be up looking, you know, I don't sleep in the night, so I'll watch that. But I would just not now talk about that's Dolly Davis. From Dolly Davis is from Carew Street and Montrose Avenue. Her and her daughter died the same time.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable. And my good cousin, Hilary DeVoe, when they got married, the daughter went to London and came back. And now his daughter, the oldest daughter, she's very involved in it. They do Virgo,
rental?
The car rental,
okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's yeah. Terry and I think Terry, Keisha, yeah, Carrie, yeah. Terry and yeah, Keisha Talansi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I talked about Hilary DeVoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Keisha's, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's Hilary's Keisha's dad, that's right.
Yeah. And then Lydia Adderley.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you about Lydia. That is the Church of God. The Church of God was, as I say, Judson, their family and everything.
Mm-hmm. Judson Jervis.
Judson Aeneas.
Oh, okay.
So that family is the Aeneas right there.
Mm.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
She passed. She passed.
Our condolences to
so
all the families.
So it is really, really something else. You know what? Whenever Lydia would, I would pass and say, "Hey, Lydia," and she'd say, "Where is Sharetta?" I say, "Sharetta's gonna call you."
Mm-hmm.
We are gonna pass by
yes.
Sharetta when we leave.
Okay.
And the other thing is that Greta has Greta, a son yes. who used to run, and I say, "Where you going?"
Mm-hmm.
Because she mixed me up with Spence.
Okay, okay.
Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
She said she is going to the wedding of her son.
Oh, wow.
He is 28.
He used to run in Star Trekkers.
He's run, that's
yes.
what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's
he used
what
to
I'm
run
saying.
In Star Trekkers, that's right. Him and yeah. him and my brother, Nathan.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Casey, Nathan. Whitfield, all of them.
Course,
Wallace Whitfield, all of them, yeah.
What do you call him now? The phone man.
Phone guard.
Oh, the phone guard.
The phone guard.
Yes, yes. Anyhow, I thank you, my young man, the producer, and we're talking about Kermit Rumming. We couldn't do it without you.
Thank you, Kermit.
Thank you, and thank you again.
Sure. The number one brand recommended by pediatricians now has 33% less sugar compared to previous formula and provides 25 vitamins and minerals and 7 grams of protein kids need for a healthy growth. It's a convenient meal or snack with a delicious kids-approved taste they'll love. Pediasure, nutrition to help kids grow. Ask your pediatrician about Pediasure today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.